The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway on August 30th in the year 2021. Darkness is still over New Orleans and Louisiana as Hurricane Ida moves into Mississippi. As the dawn comes over that part of the country, I'll bring you updates as we can get some visuals. The damage is said to be massive and vast because the storm sat over it at level 4 and 3 for hours and hours. There is no power in New Orleans. Nothing is working in New Orleans, and most of the sewage treatment plants have been shut down in that area. So people are being encouraged not to run their dishwashers, flush their toilets, or anything like that, because it's simply no water, no way to get rid of the waste, and we will keep you posted. It's now moving primarily over Mississippi as a tropical storm, bringing torrential floods to all of my friends in the South, and the ways headed up towards Virginia. The next 4 days will be full of rain and the threat of flash floods. Please stay awake and alert. Hurricane Ida was a big one. We'll let you know what we find out as the light grows. In Afghanistan, it's the 11th hour of the evacuation mission, arbitrarily scheduled to finish tomorrow. The Washington Post front page this morning says evacuation mission's 11th hour, hope dims for Afghans seeking escape. That is really an understatement. Rockets fired at the Kabul airport overnight, intercepted by defenses there. The U.S. conducted a second strike in Kabul in as many days. This one apparently did hit a suicide bomb truck, but the attendant explosions have also killed many civilians. The Pentagon will update us on that of today. President Biden, Mrs. Biden, First Lady, went to Dover for the dignified transfer of remains ritual that was so unfortunate, so unnecessary for the 13 service members killed in Afghanistan in the bombing during the rushed evacuation of the airport. The Post also reports fear and anticipation are on the streets of Kabul as Afghans adapt to Taliban rule. It's going to get worse, a lot worse. The Post also did a fine thing. They ran a story of a few dozen of the Afghanis killed in the suicide bomb. I have, over the weekend, retweeted a few of the stories about the American soldiers, sailor, and Marines. It was primarily, it's one soldier, one Navy corpsman, and the rest were Marines who were killed outside the gate at Kabul Airport. And I encourage everyone to read those, but the hundreds and hundreds of people, 170 were killed, 200 wounded. They were just ordinary Afghan people trying to get to the airport, trying to sell their last book, their last set of clothes, to get Afghani dollars. And they're called Afghanis, or like rubles or Afghanis. And now trapped there are a couple of hundred Americans and about 5,000 Afghans, at least, that we know who were entitled to get out. The worst story yesterday is what we did to the students and alumni of American University of Afghanistan who were gathered at a safe house on Sunday. Boarded buses. Those buses were supposed to be a final attempt at evacuation on U.S. military flights. They waited 7 hours for clearance of the airport gates, driving around the city, waiting. They met a dead end. Evacuations were canceled. The airport gates remained closed. And they received a line. I regret to inform you the high command at HKIA in the airport has announced there will be no more rescue flights, said an email sent to the students from the university administration on Sunday afternoon, shared with the New York Times. The email asked the 600 or so students and alumni to return home. The group was then alarmed to learn that the university had shared a list of names with passport information on the students with the Taliban guarding the checkpoints. That was confirmed by four students. They told us we have given your names to the Taliban, said Jose, a 24-year-old sophomore studying business administration. We are all terrified. There's no evacuation. We're not going to get out. And so the closing of the gates meant the death sentence for a lot of people. There are Taliban outside the doors of the American University in Kabul with signs, "The wolves lived here. It is a matter of time." In Great Britain, the diplomats are taking the brunt of the anger, as I think it will be here for the State Department. Dominic Raab there, Tony Blinken here. There's also an editorial in the Times of London, which is their New York Times, right? I usually read from the Telegraph. Is Joe Biden up to the job? The disastrous press conference he held with his head in his hands led journalists across the world to conclude this is not an individual who's up to the job. And we had no reason to believe it yesterday when he, after the transfer of remains at Dover, he went to the, tried to turn the page again, tried to get people to look away from the fiasco, the disaster that was July and August 2021, the lasting damage to our reputation, the thousands of lives that have been thrown away, the 13 casualties at the airport, all because of Joe Biden's incompetence and the incompetence of his team. President Biden went to the FEMA headquarters to talk about, try and turn the page, focus on New Orleans. Here's the exchange he had there, cut number 11.
Commissioner, I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan.
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Can you say if there's still an acute risk?
Put him walks
okay,
away.
Okay, so there is.
He looked terrible. He sounded worse. And I'm not supposed to take any questions raises that the White House strategy of keeping President Biden away from anyone who might pose a question to him for fear that he reveals infirmity, I believe. His administration officials did fan out yesterday. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, went on to meet the press with Chuck Todd. Cut number 9.
You may have seen that just yesterday, a very senior Taliban official went on television and radio across the country and repeatedly assured people in Afghanistan that they would have the freedom to travel after August 31st. He even specifically said those who worked for the Americans and those who want to leave for whatever reason will have that freedom. Now, of course, we don't take the Taliban at their word. We take them by their deed, and that's what we're going to be looking to. We have more than 100 countries, 114 countries, who signed on to a statement we initiated making clear the international community expects the Taliban to make good on a commitment to let people continue to leave the country after August 31st. That freedom of travel is essential to the international community's expectations of the Taliban going forward.
I play that because, of course, the Taliban did not let the bus go through. And that's just one of many examples. You can't. So 114 countries sent a stiff letter to the Taliban. They threw it away. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace said this, cut number 6.
Let me start with American citizens. We have evacuated at this point nearly 5,500 American citizens from Kabul. We can never get an absolutely precise count of how many Americans were in Kabul because Americans aren't required to put themselves in a database as living in Afghanistan.
And then Jake Sullivan went on Face the Nation with Ed O'Keefe and said this, cut number 7.
The whole goal here was to get U.S. military forces out of Afghanistan by September 11th. Whose idea was it to use 9/11 as the deadline?
When the decision was taken by the president to draw down our forces in Afghanistan, and he took that decision back in April, we had an impending May 1st deadline, at which point the Trump administration had negotiated the removal of all American forces from the country. The president asked his commanders, how much time do you need to be able to get out of Afghanistan in a way that you feel will protect the forces and allow you to execute a drawdown that also protects our allies as they were coming out? And they gave him a timetable of 120 days, of 4 months. And that is what has guided his decision-making about coming out of Afghanistan from the start, has been the tactical advice of his commanders on the ground, and that is how we will ultimately bring this mission to a close.
So they didn't explicitly say 9/11, they said 4 months, and you guys all looked at the calendar and realized 9/11 was there and said, okay, let's try to do it by then?
What we said was that the mission would end before the 20th anniversary of September 11th. That is what the administration laid out, and it was based on a 120-day timetable as briefed to the president by the commanders, who felt that that was the appropriate timetable to try to execute the drawdown and the completion of the U.S. military mission in Afghanistan.
Part of why I asked this, and I know you don't oversee everything, you're in charge of national security, but this summer, there was the July 4th deadline in the hope of declaring independence from the pandemic. There's this 9/11 deadline where now the Taliban essentially is going to be back in control of Afghanistan on the 20th anniversary. Has there been any conversation about perhaps not using dates on a calendar to set White House policy anymore?
Ed, I got to tell you, right now, what we're thinking about all day and all night, including every single hour of last night, how do we protect our forces at the Kabul airport against imminent threats from ISIS-K? And how do we get those remaining American citizens and others out of the country? That's what I'm focused on. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. And we are going to keep our focus on that until we get the job done.
The years of disastrous retreat continue. The Biden administration will never escape this. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. As we head into the last weekend of summer and the Labor Day weekend, the long weekend, it's a gloomy America. I'm joined by Selena Zita, who has been out and about in America. She's a columnist for the Washington Examiner and the New York Post, my weekly guest. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. How are you doing today?
Good. A very gloomy end of the summer. What are people on the road talking to you about? How do they feel about America right now?
You know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. I think the things that that give you hope, and I don't know if you have seen this or not on the on social media, but have you seen the different bars or the different families or the different businesses that have placed 13 different 13, you know, glasses of beer, bottles of wine, set different places at their homes or in their businesses to honor the men and women that that died in Kabul.
Yes, the soldier, the sailor, and the 11 Marines have been honored by many, many fallen comrade tables and set for 13. Yes.
Yeah, and so I think that is the sentiment, the thing that I hold on to, and the thing that I think that most reflects who we are in this moment than anything that we see from our elected officials in and across the country.
You know, the most authentic moment of the week was when Andrew Wilco, who's my friend on SiriusXM, Andrew got a call from Kathy McCollum, whose son was killed, Kylie, was killed in the bombing of a Marine. And she really, for almost 10 minutes, Andrew talked to her very graciously, gracefully. She's grieving in anger and so angry at the president and everyone involved with the loss of life of her son. I don't know how, I can't play it again. It's just too tough to listen to. And Andrew was very, very gracious with her. Did you happen to hear that?
Yes, I did.
And do you think that that anger is widespread across the country at Team Biden?
Yeah, they, you know, they really have struck a nerve with how they have prosecuted this exit from Afghanistan, and even more so the stubbornness in which they refuse to bend on this and or understand that the long-term impact of this isn't going to just impact you and I 2 weeks from now or a month from now or tomorrow. It's going to impact all of us and our children and our children's children. And I think that's the thing that they're completely missing.
You're right. They're oblivious to what I consider to be the long-term consequences, but I also think they're unaware of how their stubbornness has appeared to the American people. They're in denial of the reality of the world.
They absolutely are. You know, people talk all the time if you jump on social media or even if you have conversations with people. They talk about Biden's incompetence. I don't think it's incompetence. I think he is stubbornly believes what's going on. I think it's negligence. And it's not an event, you. It's a pattern of behavior. There is negligence in the way that he has handled the border. There is negligence in the way that he handled the edict with the landlords. There is negligence in the way that he has handled what is happening in Afghanistan. And it is a stubborn negligence that doesn't move from a position. And that's the thing that is really upsetting Americans.
Well, there's accumulation of catastrophes. COVID numbers are 100,000 hospital admissions. 1,000 people are dying a day from COVID. He promised that he would get the vaccine campaign to work. It hasn't worked. People still resist. I wish they wouldn't. It will save many lives if people get vaccinated. But they are, and he's not making a dent on that because I believe it's politicized. He has screwed up parent-teacher-school relations across the United States. It's just, of course, Afghanistan. Of course, I don't know what they'll do about Ida, Selena. I have no confidence that they will be effective in supplying assistance to Louisiana to you.
No, absolutely not. And that's the key word. There is a complete lack of confidence in what he does and anything that he touches. It's like the opposite of the Midas touch. It's the complete opposite of that.
And the Biden touch, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. The Biden touch.
He is to sound public policy what Thanos was to people living on the team of the Avengers. It all just turns to ash. And he, yesterday, when he took that question and said, I'm not taking questions, that was revelatory, Selena.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the president of the United States. You take questions on everything. We don't have one crisis at a time. We have multitudes of ones, in particular right now.
And he's not meeting any of them. Selena Zito from the Washington Examiner and the New York Post. Follow everything Selena writes at selenazito.com. Coming right back with the second hour of Monday's Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. One of the great observers of Washington is Josh Kroshauer with on Twitter, Hotline Josh with the National Journal. He joins me. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Hugh.
What is your assessment of the impact of this fiasco in Afghanistan on the president and the Democrats?
Look, it's a crisis of competence. I think we'll see in the next round of polls how it's affected the president's political standing. But there have already been some indications that he's lost quite a bit of support. There was a USA Today poll that came out last week showing his job approval down to 41%. A lot of other polls have showed it under 50, not quite that low. But look, the biggest asset for Joe Biden when he ran for president, when he came into office, was competence and compassion. And we're seeing a total display of incompetence in terms of the execution of the withdrawal or even the decision to withdraw all our troops in the first place, and a total lack of empathy and lack of compassion that really defined his image as president and as a candidate. Just the fact that we're leaving, it seems like, at least 100, 150 Americans behind in Afghanistan. We have allies that have, you know, there's been certainly a lot of, even though we've rescued 110,000 or so Afghans and our allies, a lot have been left behind. A lot of the people who had paperwork to come to the country didn't get out. There's going to be there's going to be more bad news to come, and it's going to weigh politically on this president.
Let me play for you, Josh Kroshauer, cut number 11, the president at FEMA yesterday, as he attempts to turn the page. He looked really bad. I mean, he looked terribly drawn and worn out, and there wasn't makeup, obviously. Cut number 11.
Commissioner, I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan.
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
And he walked away. Impact of that, Josh, on the public's consciousness?
I mean, yeah, it's an example of the, I mean, if you're a president, you've got to chew gum and walk at the same time. You've got two crises. You've got the hurricane in New Orleans, Louisiana, and you also have an evacuation that's finishing up this week. You can't not take questions about Afghanistan when you're giving when you're taking questions about what's going on in Louisiana. You just can't. And it looks bad. It raises questions about how in tune Biden has been with everything that's going on in Afghanistan, with everything that's going on around him. We've seen reports that, you know, the military and the intelligence community warned this president that of the consequences, what happens when you withdraw all our troops from Afghanistan this hastily and in the process that he did. And yet it seems like he ignored that advice.
2 weeks of unbroken faceplants by the president. Every single appearance has raised more questions than it answered. Every single appearance has underscored infirmity, underscored feebleness. And I'm not saying dementia. I'm not saying he's lost his mind. I'm just saying he's an old man. And I don't think anyone doesn't doubt that. The Times of London has a column today, is Joe Biden up to the job? How widespread is that question on people's minds, Josh, whether or not they are making it explicit?
Well, there was that CBS News poll that was done two weeks ago, that Ed O'Keefe, the great reporter over there, asked him about a majority of Americans saying that they didn't think he was up for the job. That's a number that's got to worry Democrats. Biden, as recently as this past month, was seen as an asset to Democrats running for re-election, to be running as Biden Democrats, that they viewed the president as competent. It's about to pass an infrastructure bill, perhaps. Someone who had really kind of, you know, gotten some stuff done in the first 6 months, and that all changed this month. It's really washed away all of the positive, political momentum he had coming into August. This goes to the heart of his brand. I mean, the reason this crisis is so damaging to you is that most Americans before this month viewed him as competent. Most Americans before this month viewed him as credible. And there's been a lot of whoppers being told by the White House about the state of play in Afghanistan, easily fact-checked. It raises questions about credibility, competence.
Now, when I was your age, Josh, and a young staffer in the White House, the Beirut bombing occurred, right? I wasn't in the White House yet. I didn't get there till 85. Beirut occurred in 83. And that was devastating. And many, many people were angry over a mission without a purpose, the loss of lives of those many hundreds of Marines and other forces. But Ronald Reagan came back, but Ronald Reagan was vigorous and happy and sunny, and he was an extraordinary presence in a room. I just don't think Joe Biden has the ability physically or mentally to project the kind of comeback that Ronald Reagan effected in 83, 84.
Well, he'll have an opportunity domestically in the recovery from Ida, and that could make or break. I mean, I remember in 2005 when Bush had to deal with both Iraq and the mounting crises there and also Katrina. This is a similar type situation. I don't know how we'll see the devastation, how much damage the hurricane caused, but he's going to be dealing with an evacuation and the possible threat of terrorism now metastasizing in Afghanistan, along with hurricane cleanup and recovery. Those are two big issues that could make or break a presidency. This is going to be, I mean, the political challenges are not going away for this president. If he does show vigorous leadership in the months to come, he certainly can rebound, but there are a lot of challenges and
many obstacles to a rebound, a long, long time to an election, unfortunately. Josh Kroshauer, Hotline Josh on Twitter. Thank you. Secretary of State Pompeo joins me. Former Secretary of State Pompeo joins me next hour as we review. He was last on 10 days ago. We knew it was going to be bad. We didn't know it was going to be this bad. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So If you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.